Good evening. Every time I come up here, there's more stuff up here, Wayne. You know, when John Schneider asked me what Sunday this year I was going to be preaching, I told him I wasn't planning on preaching. And then he told me August looked good. So I told him, there's no way I can preach in August. I got to have more time than that to get something ready. And he said, Lauren, that's 6 months. How much more time do you need? So after preparing for about 5 months and 28 days, I wrote this lesson and finished it last night. No, seriously, I would like to thank John for asking me, because I wouldn't have done it on my own, just gone back there. And him being able to ask me that forces me to grow as a Christian, so I appreciate that, I truly do. I appreciate the way he asked the question. Have you ever had somebody ask a question in a way you almost feel bad to say no? The way he asked me the question, it was almost like I was really going to offend him and hurt his feelings if I told him no. I didn't even have a choice. I'd like to thank the elders of this congregation. They give us men the opportunity every fourth Sunday to preach. Most of us would never do anything like this or have the opportunity to do something like this if it wasn't given to us. So I thank you for giving us that opportunity. And I thank Wayne. If you're a visitor here, I'm not the normal preacher. Please come back and hear him. He's very good at what he does. His faith is strong, and you see it in his life, and you see it in what he does here in this church. You see it in the sermons that he writes Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings, and you see it in the teachings and the studies that we have for our Bible classes and the bulletins that he prepares. So please come back and see him. I thank you for giving me the stage tonight and letting me speak. I would like to speak to you this evening about being an example. The title to this lesson is An Example We Can Live By. What is an example? Who are some examples in the Bible that we should try to learn from? And how are we examples every day? Now, there are a number of people that I could talk about tonight. Tonight we're going to spend the evening looking into the life of Job. And then we're going to talk about Jesus. And we're going to talk about how we can apply that to our lives. And how that we can be examples, and we are examples every day to everyone that we come in contact with. What is an example? The first definition is one of a number of things that shows the character of all. The second definition is an instance serving to illustrate or explain. And the third definition is a model. What is the definition of a model? It is a standard for imitation or comparison. So what we're going to discuss tonight is the definition of a model. Something that we can imitate, or something that we can compare ourselves to in order to know that we're living the way that we should live. Tonight we're going to be looking into what it takes to be a good example, to be able to positively affect people's lives around us, and what type of things that we can look at in the Bible in order to make sure that we're living our life as a Christian. We have the power to genuinely affect a lot of people. We have the power, being a Christian and knowing God, to genuinely affect the lives of people. Being an example can go both ways. You can be a good example. You could be a bad example. We are shown both in the Bible, and I'm sure throughout our lives we've all been around both. Places that we've worked, people we've grown up with, family members, friends. You name it, we've seen it. If we are around people at all, they are either a good influence on us or a bad influence on us. They can't be both. Let's think about that for just 1 second. If they're good, they're good. If they're bad, they're bad. Well, if they're bad and they're, you know, kind of good sometimes, what part are you going to remember? What part is going to affect you? What's going to rub off? It's not going to be the good part. It's going to be the bad part. Wayne said a couple weeks ago in one of his sermons, when you have spiritual breakdown, sin gets harder and harder to recognize. The longer you are around unspiritual things, the more spiritual breakdown will happen, which leads you to not be able to recognize sin. Things that you know are wrong, you will start making excuses for. If you turn with me now, we're going to start in Job chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, read, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also, his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. So we see here how blessed Job was as a person. It says that he was the greatest of all the people in the East. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, and 500 female donkeys. In verses 6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. So you see here, it seems that Satan's frustrated. He's going back and forth from the earth, to and from the world. And the Lord says in verse 8, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So we see in this verse that even God says, there is none like Job. Have you considered him? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. So we see the Lord tells Satan in verse 12, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay your hand on his person. And so it begins for Job. If you continue reading through chapter 1, Job loses his oxen, his donkeys, his servants, his sheep, his camels, and all of his children. Everything that he has was taken from him in what seems to be a matter of minutes, right after another. This is just the beginning. So what does Job do? we look in verse 20. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell to the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." In all of this, Job did not sin, nor charge God with wrong. This man's whole world was turned upside down. He lost everything he had. And what did he do? It says he fell to the ground and worshiped. Now, how many times has something happened to us in our lives that we can't even compare to that? I mean, minor things. And we'll just throw our hands up. That's it. I'm done. I can't believe God did that to me. I can't believe this is happening. I don't deserve it. Job lost everything he had and he fell down and he worshiped. And he said, "The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." What can we learn from that? Through all of that, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In chapter 2, we see the same thing in this chapter as in the first. We see the sons of God come together and present themselves before the Lord. And again, we see Satan. And you've got to imagine that he's frustrated. In verse 2, it says, "The Lord said to Satan, 'From where do you come?' So Satan answered the Lord, 'From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it.'" He just dismantled this man's life, and it didn't work. Job still worshiped God. And if you read on in verse 3, it's kind of funny when you think of maybe God's humor here, when he says, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? Well, there's none on earth like him." In verse 4, "So Satan answered the Lord and said, 'Skin for skin. Yes, all that a man has, he will give for his life. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face.' So the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in your hand, but spare his life.'" Spare his life. So now the only thing that Satan cannot do to Job is kill him. But other than that, it's pretty much on the table. Verse 7. "Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head." Now I've had cuts and I've had bruises. And I've been in car wrecks, and I've had fractured bones, but I've never had a boil. But I know people who have, and they are not fun. Now, does anybody think here that, you know, Satan might have put a couple on his foot, maybe a few on his body, maybe he had a few on his head, but probably wasn't covered? The only stipulation that Satan had was to not kill him. Do you not think that he took that right to the edge? When it tells us that he was covered from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head, do you not think that man was covered with boils? I can't even imagine. Even Job's wife told him in verse 9, "Do you still hold your integrity? Curse God and die." Now, I have an amazing wife. And a lot of us here have wonderful wives. What was this man going through that caused his wife to say, do you still have your integrity, curse God, and die? It had to have been bad. What does Job say to her? You speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. What character does this man have? After everything that he's gone through, lost everything he had, on the brink of death. And he says, shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? And he still did not sin. If we skip now through the book, and we go to chapter 42. It tells us in verse 10, the Lord restored Job's losses when he had prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. In verse 12, now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Everything he lost, he got back double. And he got his family back. In verse 15, in all the land were found no women so beautiful as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them an inheritance among their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his children and grandchildren for 4 generations. So Job died old and full of days. So Job did not give in to the devil, and the Lord once again blessed him. Everything that he went through, he did not sin. His faith was strong, and he kept believing in God. Can we learn something from that? What can we learn from Job? One, that we can stand against the devil when we have God on our side. When David took that sling and that stone and he walked up to that giant, everything that you could see with your eyes spelled disaster. Everything. What you couldn't see was the giant behind David. What you couldn't see was God. And Goliath fell from the force of a little stone thrown by David with the power of God behind him. We can do anything if we trust in the Lord. Two, the devil is looking for ways to trip us up every day. We have heard it before, and I'll repeat it. He doesn't need to look out there. He already has them. He already has the whole world. Especially if you watch the news. He's looking in here. This is where his attention is. Inside these walls among us. Do you think that it's hard for Satan to convince somebody who's not a Christian, but's been wanting to come to church, give it a try? They realize maybe something's missing. Do you think that it's hard for the devil to convince them that they can do it next Sunday? We all wake up 7 days a week, and what's the one day between 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning that your bed is more comfortable than any day of the week? Sunday morning. It's because he's working on you right then. Right then. And he follows you here. And that's what we have to watch out for. We must stay strong in our faith and keep striving to do everything that we're instructed to do in this book. Matthew 6, 25 and 26 is a passage that we're all familiar with. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We need to follow his laws and not worry so much about the small stuff. God will provide for us. He will take care of us. Trials. We've all been through trials. We've all had things happen to us. Some things we wondered if we were going to get out of. We might not be able to comprehend losing donkeys and sheep and camels and oxen because it's 2010. And I've never seen an oxen. But you do have a job, and you do have a house, and you do have a car, and you do have cell phones. And what if you lost your job? And then you lose your house. And then what? Start parking the car in the neighbor's garage? Because they're coming after that too. We all go through trials. We've got to keep our faith strong and know that God will pull us through them if we trust in Him. All the things that we can learn from Job. But whose life are we told to model our life after? Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world and lived as a man, and was tempted as a man. He was our perfect example of how we should live our lives, or strive to live our lives, as Christians. He was tempted, and he did not sin, ever. God sent his only Son to die for us. Jesus was crucified and risen from the grave, conquering death so that we could have forgiveness through his blood and be led home at the end of this life. He truly is the only example that we need to look at. But isn't it great that we're given this book with all these other stories so that we know that it is possible to live a godly life in a world that is sinful. We are in some crazy times, I would say, right now as a country. And there are some core values that we need to start seeing really quick. But we are not the only country or great nation to have faced trials. We are certainly not the only Christians that have lived among sinful men. In fact, I would say we're about the luckiest Christians in the whole world because of the nation that we do live in and the freedoms that we have to worship God freely. There are still Christians today who live in fear that if it's found out, they will die. So another blessing that we have. We can look into the lives of all around us. We are examples to everybody. Every single person, every day that we come in contact with, we are an example. We are examples to strangers. We are an example to friends and family, to children, to other people's children. We are examples. Everyone. Weston, my son. Yeah, I know y'all know him. Picks up on everything. Everything. Oh, the things he teaches me. And the lessons I learn. His orneriness teaches me. You know, I can give Braden a stack of paper, and I can give him a black pen, and he will disappear all day. And you won't even realize he's even home. And I can give Holly a book, and she's gone. And then I got Weston. And Weston's looking at the door, and he's trying to figure out just how hard he has to slam it into the wall in order to make a hole big enough for his car to fit. And you've got children. What do? When they learn to crawl, they crawl up some stairs and they fall down. And they crawl back up them and they fall down. And they smack their head on the tile. And they cry and they scream and you think they're going to die. And then they stop. And what do? Go right back to the stairs. What can we learn from children? To not give up? What an example they are in their determination. If you teach somebody the gospel, if you ask them and they say no, and then you run off and never ask them again, you never got to put your car inside that hole in the wall. Because they might have just needed one more hit, one more time of you saying something. If the first time you fell down the stairs, you never went back, well, you wouldn't go very far. So when someone tells you no, don't let it be the end. Because when someone obeys the gospel, and it's because you didn't take no for an answer, how great is that? Watch what we do. Others are watching us every day. Be an example to those around us. Be a light in this dark world. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Don't forget God. This world is not your home. If you're not a Christian tonight, you can become one. If you've studied and you know God's will, you know what it takes, then tonight's the night. If you are a Christian and you've sinned, there's no better time than now. Come forward. We will pray for you. That's what we're for. There's strength in numbers. All of us have fallen short. All of us. All of us have sinned. All of us have needed to come forward. All of us have needed prayers from now and then. If you'd like to become a Christian, or if you need the prayers of the congregation, won't you please come forward while we stand and sing.